Thank you, Leroy. Everybody revitalized? Yeah, Leroy just made a very good statement about the food. It's wonderful, but it does tend to make one sleepy, right? So hopefully you'll stay awake. If not, that's okay. We won't take it personally. Right, dear?
As long as you stay awake, we'll be
okay.
All right.
Okay, all right. I'll see how I do.
Just want to mention before we start on the back table when you came in the door, there's several different magazines there. They're all the same, Forever Family, but there's different issues. We brought these along because we wanted you to know that this is a magazine our ministry puts out free of charge. If you would like to get it, you can sign up on the mailing list there. Our mailing list is confidential, and the only purpose it serves is to get you this magazine. So if it's something that you would, we don't want you to run back there and put your name on. We want you to pick up the magazine and browse through it, and if you think it's something that you would appreciate and that you would also share, pass it on. Don't let it park in your house and collect dust or go in the waste can. Yes. They're all gone. Okay. Well, anyway, so you've already gotten the magazine, so I have a few here. But just see if it's something that you really want, because it is free of charge. Obviously, we try to keep our expenses down. And if it's something that you really don't want, we don't want to have to pay to send it to you if you don't want it. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's all about families, and each issue has something for marriage, something on marriage, parenting, family ties, a feature article, something for men, something for women, something for children, something on stretching your dollars. Interesting people, I find people to write articles on different topics, and they are really powerful. If you picked up the fall issue, which is our most recent one, From Heartache to Happiness is a fabulous story of a couple who God took out of gangs and even prison and brought them to him and what they're doing, what they've done in their family. So anyway, they don't get into a lot of detail because obviously the articles are very, very short, but it's very encouraging. And we brought some past issues. And the secretary, we were at Pune, and I says, I need more of these. So she quickly got them to me. She says, I thought this looked like Hawaii, so I would send it to you. This is a past issue. It's from the first year we put the magazine out. That we've now done it for 3 years. And this one's feature article is Lessons from a Coconut. So you might find that one interesting. Obviously, they're gone. So if you didn't get all these, that's okay, because you can go on the ministry website, restoration-international.org, O-R-G, or foreverfamily.com, and you can look at all the past issues and read everything online. We have people who volunteer. We have it in the Czech language. We have some of the articles in German. We have some of them in Romanian. We have some, I don't think we have any in Spanish yet.
We're working on it.
Yeah, we're just looking for volunteers. But anyway, these are available. So look through it if it's something you feel would be a blessing, an encouragement, and that you would like to share with others. Please pick it up. And also, I do want to mention the other thing in the back of every issue, the last page, is a list of where we will be speaking, upcoming events, as well as family camps. So here you will see that your church here, Honokaha, did I come closer this time?
Honokaha.
Okay. Sorry, I haven't got the vowels figured out yet. Anyway, that's listed in here. So obviously, you know, you're over here, but you may see in the next issue, well, next in 2 weekends, we're going to be in Swansea, New Hampshire. That's about as far east as you can get from where we are now. And if you know people in that area, it doesn't have to be New Hampshire, Connecticut, Vermont, Maine, they're all, I mean, you can drive there and 2 hours or less, because they're very close states. So it's not just for, oh, are they going to be in our area, but if you have relatives, friends, or other, you know, acquaintances, business associates that have moved, and you think they would be benefited, you can let them know that this is available in their area. And then, of course, we have listed there the family camp meetings. We only have two showing now. Down here. Our new issue for winter will soon be out. It goes to the publisher tomorrow, Monday. And so if you sign up on the list, you will get the new magazine, the winter issue. And that has a list of all the family camps across North America for next year with the dates, the location, the contact person. And like I said earlier, unfortunately, we don't have one in the islands right now. But again, you may be on the mainland at a certain time. We've had had people from the mainland go to this from the islands, go to the mainland for camps. So, and we've had people from the mainland come out here to go to a camp when it was on Oahu. So anyway, those things are available. We just want you to know that. And I do have a few issues left. So if somebody didn't, you know, if you've got one or two, if somebody didn't get any, that's a person I'd like to put it in their hands, okay? So that's a little bit about the magazine. And it's really been a blessing. It goes outside of our denomination. It goes outside of Christianity. We have people who are signing up because it's encouraging for the family. And there's simple examples of what we can do to make our families a happier place to live. Obviously, biblically based and God-driven.
So this afternoon, we want to talk about effective communication in the context of marriage. Now, everything we're going to share, will apply to any communication in any relationship, okay? Brothers and sisters, any right? Mm-hmm. But it's in the context of marriage is what we're, how we're sharing it. And it's taken from a series that we did on 3ABN called Marriage in God's Hands. So we're going to be talking about seven effective tools for communication that we feel are very important because they've made a difference, a big difference in our lives, in our communication. And then we're going to close with seven communication breakers that we've also experienced in our marriage that don't do well for communication. So we hope that you'll take these things, because if you'll take them and you'll give them time, at least 1 month, it'll revolutionize your communication, no matter how good it is, okay? Amen. It'll get better. So I remember one evening coming home from work, back in our suburban rat race, and it became quite evident that my wife wanted to communicate. She wanted to talk. But it was also quite evident in my heart that I didn't feel like talking right then. At least not when she met me at the door. And I let her know that I was very tired, had a lot on my mind, things that I needed to do that were left undone at home, and basically gave her the impression that
it'd be later.
That we could communicate later, but not now. And she didn't particularly feel very good about that, and I didn't probably handle it in the best way, but did you want to say something?
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I'm sure your wives, what was your first clue? Pushing you out of the way. it's obvious that when wives want to talk and the husband's not in the mood, have we learned that it's better if we can tell they're not in the mood that now is not the time, right? So don't push it. Just gracefully step away from it.
Well, about 5 minutes later, the phone rang. And my dear wife answered the phone, and it happened to be my best friend, Kurt, at that time. My wife's my best friend. Didn't understand all that then. This was in our early marriage. And she answered the phone, and he wanted to talk to me. Now, I just got done telling her what? So what did you say to him?
Well, what I said is, sure, just a minute, I'll get him for you. But what I should have said is, you know what, Kurt? He's too tired, he's too busy, he's got too many projects left undone, and he's just not in the mood to talk. That's what I should have said. But I didn't. Like any of us wise, we say, just a minute, I'll get him for him. And I went out in the garage and I said, honey, it's Kurt.
So you men think that I told him what I told my wife? No. Should have, right? So I talked to Kurt for about 30 minutes. Not only did I talk to him, but I really had quite an animated conversation. My poor wife didn't think that I sounded tired, stressed, too busy, too much on my mind. She couldn't quite understand how I could have such a nice conversation. So, got off the phone with my buddy, and my wife asked me a very simple question. So, what did you talk about? What did I say, wives? You got it.
It's universal.
Every language you've ever shared this in, it's always the same. It's a different language, but it's always the same.
Nada in Spanish.
My direct, exact quote was, "Oh, nothing. Oh, nothing." Now, I want to stop right there. Because what I've done over the last 30 minutes is I have told my wife in no uncertain terms that you're not important enough to me to take time to communicate with, at least not right now. Now I've told her that he is important enough for me to communicate with. These are messages coming through loud and clear. I didn't know it then, but
I got the message.
She got that message. The least I could have done is given her a 5-minute synopsis of my conversation, right? Courtesy. But I said, "Oh, nothing." Is that a slap in the face?
Yes.
Let's be real. That's a slap in the face. So in all three of these messages, my message to her when I walk in the door, my message to her while I'm on the phone, my message to her at the end of my conversation, all three of these say everything, everybody, and everybody's agenda is more important to me than you. Now, husbands, is that really what I meant to tell her?
No.
No, it went right over my head. I didn't love her any less, but I was giving her all the wrong messages in my communication. Well, fortunately, that night, all that began to change. I mean, we were changing, but that night, she let me know, didn't you, dear?
Yes. Well, I have to say that when I heard the energy he had on the conversation, I'm thinking, what is Kurt saying? What is it that he can say to my husband that gets him so energized, so full of life, so vibrant, so happy, so, you know? Because it seemed like when we communicated, it was kind of more, I don't want to say flat, but, you know, basic. He didn't really, you know, just light up and come alive. So obviously I'm trying to think, that's what was in my heart when I asked him the question. It wasn't so much, well, what did he say? You know, let's talk about work or whatever. But there was something deeper that I was looking for in that question, which is why I asked you, what did he say? Because whatever it was certainly gave him a charge. And of course, don't we as wives want to give our husband a charge? Yeah, we do, right? We want to see them come alive when we're around them, right? To look like they're happy and energetic and glad to be in our association. So anyway, I wasn't as graceful as I should have been, but God works us with us where we are, and he knew what was really in my heart, and he had been working in our relationship. And so my husband did get the message, although it wasn't as graceful and as
this good message though
God-given as it should have been, right?
But I needed it.
But he needed it. You're kind.
And we've been living happily ever after. Now, it didn't happen quite that quick, but we've grown a lot in our communication.
Yes, definitely. So here's a verse. It is just amazing to us that God is so personal and so practical and so direct in his word that he's preserved through all the ages. Here's a verse, a text, that likely everyone has read, maybe some of you have even memorized, but has it been applied in your life? Hebrews 13:16 says, "To communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." We would simply say, don't forget to communicate. It may seem like a sacrifice in the moment because of other things that are on your mind or other pressures that you're dealing with, it may seem like a sacrifice, but when we do it, God is well pleased. Why would God be pleased if we communicate? Because if we communicate, then we have less conflict, right? We have better understanding. We have more harmony. Do you think that's pleasing to God? Absolutely. And it's also very pleasant to live in that experience in the marriage. So this is a powerful, direct comment to us, a principle for us, that this is very important. Because God wrote, had the Apostle Paul write it very clearly and very strongly.
So if you've got your pencil and paper,
here we go.
Take some notes, because you'll remember better even if you throw the notes away. Number one, make time and take time to communicate. You know, we added on the take time because we were pretty proud of ourselves that we decided to make time to communicate. Looks like we're losing somebody already. We decided that to take time was important, as well as to make the time. Because here's what happens, and I hope it doesn't happen to you guys, but we say, okay, we really need to do better in our communication. So let's plan it for Monday evening, 7 o'clock. Wife gets excited about it. Husband's sincere about it, okay? 10 minutes to 7, the phone rings. Doesn't happen. And that's disheartening, okay? So it's good to make the time in the schedule, but it's even better to take the time and make everybody feel like this is at least as important as my commitments at work. This is at least as important as my time with my buddies. That's a message that we really want to get through. So make the time and take it.
And it works for us as women, too. And we recommend that it's a daily making and taking the time. We used to not be so strong on that point, but we found that if you put it off and do it twice a week, it just doesn't happen because it doesn't become our habit. So daily communication, and it's better to make a realistic time. If you're not used to communicating and talking and just airing out the day together every day, at all, then don't give yourself an hour because you really won't know what to do with it. It's better to give yourself 15 minutes. And what it says is if we're diligent to be there for that 15 minutes because it's realistic, it may be not so, be so intimidating for the husband. An hour, what am I going to say for an hour? You mean I have to listen to her for an hour? So it's better to just say, make a short time and make it work and then grow that time. He actually suggested we start with 5 minutes. I thought that was pretty brief. And we ladies tend to be verbose. We say everything in chapter form, and our husbands say things in the concise way. They get it down to simple sentences, as in one-word sentences. So we have to be careful, ladies, that when we have this time, we don't use it all up, because we're so detailed. And men, you have to step up, and your wife, when she says, how was your day? She's looking for more than good or okay. You got it? Does that make sense? So she's looking for a few more words, share something about your day. But anyway, make time and communicate. Take the time.
And just an encouragement to wives, if you haven't had much communication for a while, it can be... There can be a tendency in that first time when your husband says, honey, we're going to take the time to just, this is my chance, and pour it all out. And that could be a little overwhelming to a husband. So make that first time around very positive. My wife did this, and we never did just have 5 minutes.
No, never did.
No, it was much more than that.
It was okay. A humorous way to look at it.
That's right. Number two, listen. Really listen. I'll tell you how I used to listen and some of the problems it caused in our marriage. I listened just long enough to get what I needed to respond to. Sometimes that was half a sentence. Oh, I know what you're going to say. You don't have to say another word. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know where you're going with this. You don't even have to say anything more. How's that for good communication? It's not appropriate. And it will not gender good communication. It won't. Okay? So, I learned that my assignment as a husband was to listen with understanding. That's by grace. That means all I'm doing is listening to understand her. I'm not listening to respond to her. Okay? You understand the difference? If you understand, raise your hands. Okay. This is so important. Beyond intellectually, if we will listen to understand, we can cut conflict in half immediately. Okay? Because now I really want to understand her, and instead of thinking I understand her halfway through the sentence and interrupt her to tell her what I'm going to respond to her, now I'm listening, and now my focus is to understand. When I really understand, we really have better communication. Works both ways.
Works both ways. And if this is new to you and you haven't had good communication, communication has been stressed in the past, what we recommend is that when your spouse is speaking, because it does work both ways, listen with the heart to understand. Ladies, don't formulate your response. Don't get your ammunition ready. As soon as he goes quiet, you hit him with all these thoughts. Really take time to hear what he has to say. And then before you give your answer, say, honey, this is what I'm here understanding you to say. Is that correct? So don't assume that because you heard it the first time, you've got it. Because men and women speak very differently. And it's amazing that, and what we're going to talk about in this next one, so I'm not going to get there yet, but just really verbalize back what you're hearing your husband. This is what I'm hearing you say. Do I understand you? Sometimes he'll say, yeah. Sometimes he'll say, that's as far from where I'm going as, you know, this is what I'm saying. And then he'll restate. That reduces potential conflict. So take time to listen and be listening with a heart to understand. Yes.
Yeah, yep. We're probably the same one, Proverbs 18:13. Just getting ready to read that.
Go ahead, dear.
It says, since we're putting it on audio, they'll hear us better, but that's exactly right. It says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And I can relate to that because I've done it too many times. Didn't hear the whole matter. Made me a fool. Didn't have good communication. So hear the whole thing. That's Proverbs 18:13. Thank you.
And the other thing that's important on this is I've told my husband, you know, it doesn't matter that we agree. What matters is that I know you understand what I'm saying. If I think that he doesn't understand, then I want to say it again. And he thinks I'm not wanting to agree with him. So this is very important into this area, just to know that it's okay that we don't agree, but I just need to know that you understand. That's why it's good to repeat back, which leads us into point number 3.
No, it is okay that we don't have to agree, but it helps us to agree even more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I'm still having a hard time on a man's part, you know, that communication. I was doing fine until you went, understand what she's trying to say. But sometimes, you know, like, sometimes you know what the point's going to be, you know where she's going, and having trouble to understand it. Are you saying what I should be understanding is that even though it might be goulash to me, and she's going to repeat it 4 or 5 times, that I just have to be patient and let her go through it, or do I have a sign to let her...
Now, what we mean by understanding here, and we can't, you know, obviously can't repeat all the questions here because this is not a question and answer. We'll have that at the end. But the idea of what we're trying to listen for is the heart, okay? Give thy servant an understanding heart. When a woman or a man, either one, has to repeat themselves 4 or 5 times, and the husband in this case, I know what you're going to say. Well, you don't really know what she's going to say. You know what you're repeating. We don't always know the heart. and the heart is what we have to hear. It's the same with children, okay? Sometimes we think we're hearing our children and we're not hearing them, and it leads to rebellion, okay? It's not the words, because when we only hear words, we write off the heart, okay? I know what you're going to say. You can say it to me 5 times, as you just said, and it's the same. No. Will somebody please understand me? The reason I'm saying it 5 times is because you've never got it. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's you, but I'm answering your question. The reason we have to listen with understanding is because in that process, God changes our hearts. Okay? God listens to rebellious children. We all are one. Okay? And sometimes we give God the same responses over and over and over, like the disciples did. But God keeps listening, and he listens with understanding. Okay? That's what we need to do. We need to listen with understanding. We'll find that the person will quit having to tell us 5 times, because now we finally got the heart message, not just the head message.
So point number 3, effective communication allows for differences of opinions and perspective. This is what I was going to say last time, a moment ago. We have been to the same function. We've been to a church social, had a wonderful time, we're driving home, and before we ever get home, we're in an argument of what happened at the church social. It's mind-boggling, because we're happy together there, we're happy getting in the car, and we start sharing, oh, did you hear him say this, and she did that, and he says, no, that's not what he said. Yes, that is what he said. No, it isn't what he said. Well, it sure is what he said. And the next thing you know, you're on a debate, and maybe a heated argument, because I heard one thing and he heard something else. We are different creatures. We are different genders, and we hear and process things differently. And so it's okay that we don't see everything the same if it's opinions and perspectives. Actually, what we've learned through this is that we can get more from an event by me hearing how he perceived it and what happened, and he hearing how I perceived it and what happened, and we come away with a richer experience than it, only my viewpoint or only his viewpoint. And we use this example because it's happened in our home, and we use the example because it was something that was fun that we planned to enjoy and we did enjoy together that turned out to be a mess at the end. So this does not mean that we allow for differences of principle. Principle is the word of God. It's always exacting. An example of that is children obey your parents in the Lord. We're parents. Is that my perspective or his perspective? It's God's principle. That means if we want our children to be obedient at home, that obedience should happen everywhere, whether we're at church or grandma's. So if he says, well, you know, it's not important that, you know, the children do this at grandma's, because after all, we are at grandma's house and she won't understand. That's not what it's talking about. We need to have harmony and agreement on principle, but not, we don't have to have harmony and agreement on perspective and opinion. So effective communication allows for those differences, and through those differences, we see life in a bigger and more colorful way.
And I think that one of the things that helped me to get this from the Word of God, that really helped me to break through in this, so it doesn't have to be my way, okay? I don't have to win with perception, with perspective, was really going back and reading the Bible with an understanding of perspective. If you read the 4 accounts in the Gospels, you'll find that one of the Bible writers says that there were two demoniacs, okay? One of them says there was one demoniac. Who's lying? That's how I used to look at it. Who's lying here? This is the Bible. It's because the writers had different perspectives. One of them was an eyewitness. The other one was an account that was retold, okay? So that doesn't even mean that we have to say the eyewitness account was better. What we have to understand is that there's a reason why God allowed the Bible to be written that way, with a differing perspective, because the end message was always the same, okay? The real heart message was the same, whether it was one or two demoniacs. So don't fight over, no, it's not that way. Because it doesn't matter if we see it differently. We don't have to fight over perspective. Number 4, Effective communication is expressive of appreciation and a positive view in our relationship together. Okay? One of the things that I do, and I did it here, you know, in the meal, when we have prayer together for the meal, wherever we are, whoever's house, whatever church, whatever, when we have prayer for the meal, afterwards, I kiss my wife. It's something we've done for many years. It started with an expression of appreciation for all that she does in our home and preparing meals and taking care of the home. And it's a little message wrapped up in a simple kiss, okay? That is a statement of communication to my wife that she understands wherever we are. That little kiss means something to her. It's a positive expression of my appreciation for all that she does.
And use simple, these phrases, and if you've ever had children, you know what I'm talking about. What do you say? Have you ever said to children, what do you say? Please, thank you. That's what you're trying to get out of them, right? And we can just go over this and over this and over this. And how many times have I told you to say, please or thank you? And those two simple phrases are very respectful. They show appreciation. They show respect. And so we struggled with this. You know, how long does it take your child to say, please pass the peas or please pass the bread? This is what we wanted them to do at home. And we realized the reason they're not getting it is because that's not what's being modeled to them. Children simply are who they behold, or what they behold, not what you tell them. They learn more from example than by words. So for us, we had to take a look at that, and now please and thank you are very much a part of our daily communication, and it happens in the smallest things. I can't remember what it was this morning, but I told my husband, thank you. I made this bed this morning. He said, thank you to me. Hey, that's my job. Thank you for making the bed, honey. Every day, vice versa, however it works. And they flow so spontaneously. Do you know that when you start speaking in those kind of tones, with those kind of expressions to your spouse, simply saying please and thank you, that you already have a higher respect and elevation and connection with your spouse just in those two simple phrases alone? So that's what we're talking about, expressing appreciation. And for the little things in life. And then we want to go to point number 5. Effective communication is being sensitive to nonverbal communication. We communicate more nonverbally than we do with our words. Even in a verbal communication, we're communicating more by our nonverbal than by our words. So 80% of communication is happening nonverbally. We can be in the same room and not saying anything. We can communicate. You can feel the aura about the person around you. But even when we're in a discussion, more of what is really in our heart is being communicated by our nonverbal. If we're in a discussion, I'm looking out the window like this, you know, tapping my foot and rolling my eyes. You think it matters what I say? It matters my posture, right? So nonverbal communication we need to pay attention to. And look for the positive nonverbals to give. Smile. Do you know inspiration tells us, particularly women, to smile. And there's one reference that says, smile, mother, smile. Why would God have to tell mothers to smile? Because mothers get so focused on being a mother that smiles fade quickly. And you try that in your home with your children. You try that with your spouse. A smile can communicate so much, and it will even at times diffuse the potential conflict, and you don't even know there's one coming. But he can be thinking something, or she can be thinking something, and a simple heartfelt smile, a wink at your spouse, and wow, that's wonderful. And they forget all about these negative thoughts that the devil's been putting in that's circulating around, and they immediately turn to a positive attention.
All right, number 6. Stay on the topic. Oh. So somebody understands that. You know, one of the hardest things in communication is getting to the finish line on something that's in the present when you try to add on things that are from the past. We call it freight training. When you keep adding stuff from the past to try to make your point for the present, you overload the conversation and things deteriorate, okay? So we really want to, and we've given each other permission in our communication that we can say, honey, remember, we need to stay on a topic. Let's get this conversation done before we go into two or three other ones, okay? Is that fair? Yes, it's much better. It's much more wholesome communication.
And effective communication point number 7, be honest in your communication. This is a big one that is very destructive to marriages because we think he's going to disagree because we really don't want him to know what we said to the children because we really don't want him to know that we let the children do something he said he didn't want them to do. It's easy to look for ways to step around it and tell a partial truth that's not an honest evaluation of the topic. So be honest in your communication, even if you've messed up. There's been times I've called him on the phone and I said, honey, I just want you to know, I'm embarrassed to tell you, and I'm sick about it, but I just blew up with the children, and I want you to know that. I mean, of course, you know, do I really want him to know that? No, I don't. I mean, I'm hoping by the time he gets home, the children forgot, and I can just, you know, kind of hide in the corner, but this is not right. And so I found the blessing of just being forthright with him because when we're willing to face our weaknesses, when we're willing to confess our faults, we become more accountable and we find that we're more motivated to accept the grace of God, to surrender our hearts to God and let him change us in the next round of potential disaster. So honesty is huge in the marriage.
I had a man call me and he said, you know, I'm calling you because I just want somebody who I can trust to give me your honest thoughts about what I'm struggling with. He said, I've been in a relationship with another woman for 6 months, emotionally only. 6 months. And my wife has gotten to the place where she knows I'm not the same person anymore. She knows something is wrong. She knows I'm not with her the same way I used to be with her. And he says, I've completely broken off the relationship with the other woman that I've been emotionally involved in. It's behind me. But he said, I feel like God is telling me I need to be honest with my wife. And he says, quite frankly, I'm afraid if I tell her the truth, she'll be gone. It will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. What do you think I should do? Well, I can tell you that we prayed before we had our communication. And I was praying before, during the communication. And when he asked me that question, I didn't have to hesitate a moment, okay? I said, you need to be honest with your wife. He said, I thought you'd probably say that. He said, but I'm afraid. And I said, let me tell you, I'm going to step out on a limb here, but I said, because I deal with a lot of marriage counseling by phone. My wife and I deal with marriage counseling face-to-face with people. But I do the telephone counseling, and I said, just from what I know of your experience, okay, as he explain some of the details in the conversation. I said, I believe that it will be more meaningful to your wife for you to be honest. She will probably appreciate your honesty more than you realize, and she will be so happy that you finally are honest. Because I said, I suspect that you haven't been honest in your relationship for a long time. And he said, yeah, it's been a long time. It will tell her that you are ready for change. It will tell her that you really want to do God's will and that you want to fix this relationship and you're willing to be vulnerable with her. And he says, I believe that's what God wants me to do. pray for me. I said, I will. About 3 months later, we saw this family. They came to us at some church meetings. And when they came in the door, they were happy people. We didn't know all of what happened, but we knew something good had happened. And in between meetings, they said, can we talk? And we went and talked. And he expressed that he had done what God was telling him to do. He was completely honest, and that his wife was completely willing to forgive him, was completely happy that he was ready to deal honestly with his own heart and her heart, and that their marriage had never been better.
Amen.
And now she was his accountability partner by voluntarily choosing to be there. He said, now instead of trying to hide things from my wife, if I have any temptation, I hit the speed dial and I'm on the phone talking to my wife. My accountability, she loves me, and I know she loves me. She wants to help me. So don't be afraid, men. I tell you, you know, I deal with all kinds of situations that I would not share in this setting, with all kinds of things that are so available today on the internet, and people try to hide stuff. And in our experience, the more vulnerable, and I'm speaking to men here, the more vulnerable a man will be, the more potential you have for restoring the relationship. You try to hide it, saying, oh, I don't want to hurt her feelings, it won't work. It'll just deteriorate, and the accountability will be lost, and you'll get more and more tangled up in this web of sin and sickness. And tell the wives, you know, what they need to,
well,
to stand in
for. Well, it is hurtful, but nonetheless, if a man is willing to come without you suspecting it and willing to say, honey, this is what I've done, and I feel sick about it, I don't want this to be in our relationship, I love you, this is our time, wives, to go past a hurt and help the healing to take place. Because if he's willing to come and set it straight with us, then he's willing to deal with it, and he wants to be done with it. If he's trying to hide it and it didn't happen, and you know, trying to erase things on the computer and all these kind of things, it tells the wife that if he gets caught, then he's willing to deal with it. So men, don't wait till you're caught. Bring it forward. And wives, let's not. God will give us the grace to get past the hurt and to deal with it. And we can have a happy marriage and restore those areas.
So don't be afraid of being honest, okay? Because God wants to take us through with our honesty. All right. Now we want to talk about the communication breakers. This is not where we want you to focus. This is what we want you to be aware of, okay? Because sometimes if we are forewarned on these things, it can help us when they happen to say, no, I don't want to go there. And the first one, the first real communication breaker is absolute statements. You always, you never. My wife used to say to me, you always forget to take the trash out. Those were fighting words for me. You know why? When you make an absolute statement, when she says that to me, and fortunately I've grown past that, haven't I?
Of course, dear, in both ways.
But when you say to me, when she says to me, you always forget to take the trash out, that's inflammatory because, no, don't you remember? 3 weeks ago, I did remember. So then we're going to get in an argument about that. Absolutes are inflammatory, okay? So we don't use them very often.
Unless we use them positive. Unless they're always wonderful.
That's right, yeah. And I say, you know, you got to be truthful on that too. So, so these absolutes,
almost always.
These absolutes really break good communication. So we made an agreement again between us that if one of us slips into an absolute, we can say, honey, is that what you really meant to say? Is it always?
No, dear, it's not always. It's not even most of the time. Anyway, communication breaker number two, and we've touched on it a little bit, but it's bringing up the past. it's amazing how quick we can experience something minor in our relationship that's not on the positive side. And this is really a big one for women. Our minds work incredibly
overtime, into the night, into the new morning.
That we can have a flood of thoughts and rehearse the last 5 years in split seconds of all the things that have happened that have not been good done by our spouse, right? You don't have to say yes or no.
You don't have to raise your hands. We know.
So this is, and it goes for both husbands and wives, because husbands bring up the past too. But wives often, this is a real, you know, heavy ammo that we bring out. So don't bring up the past. Stay on the topic. We mentioned that already. The only past we want you to bring up is all the wonderful things you love and appreciate about your husband or your wife. And when you do that, those other things just fade into oblivion. But if we keep allowing those things to rehearse in our mind, the negative things that grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, then that becomes a focus, and we can start on to a discussion, and the poor guy, he's just, it's like we have a, you know, a machine gun, and, you know, he doesn't stand a chance because we're bringing up incident after incident, and he doesn't even remember anything you're talking about, so it doesn't do any good anyway. So let's leave the past behind. Bring up the past when we want to talk about the pleasant memories of the past. And you will see your marriage grow. Now, that doesn't mean you can never bring up something that's in your heart that's unresolved. But if you can't get it resolved with God, and that prayer to resolve it with God is, you know, God, change him, God, change him, God, change him. No, that prayer is, Lord, if I'm wrong, change me. Take this off. Take this burden off. If God doesn't remove that burden, and then you pray for your spouse that God will put that burden there, then it's safe to bring it up in God's timing. But you're not going to come at it with agitation and defensiveness. You're going to come at it with a desire to talk through it reasonably,
amen,
understandably, and to heal.
All right, number three. Loudness, screaming, and yelling break communication. That's pretty obvious, right? Loudness, screaming. You know, there's something that's humorous, okay? At least to us it is. We travel a lot. We go to a lot of different countries. And I can remember in the early years when we started going to places like Germany and Romania and these places that I somehow had this idea that if I just talk louder, they'll understand me. No. They don't understand English, whether you say it loud or soft. Or maybe if I enunciate my words more plainly, they'll understand me. No, it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way in the marriage. I mean, I have, and probably you have at times, raised the tone of my voice.
Or the intensity.
Why? Because I think you'll get it, right?
Because you better get it.
But it's true, and research has proven this, that actually as you raise the sound intensity in a discussion, the hearing actually compensates. Did you know that? Shuts down. Doesn't hear, okay? That's why we can say, are you tuning me out? Yes. Okay, so it doesn't work. If we feel ourselves getting intense and getting loud, certainly the Holy Spirit doesn't want it to happen, and it will break communication.
Yeah. Now we have a code language for that. A little example we learned about a cucumber. When a cucumber is attached to the vine, it doesn't matter how warm it is outside, it's always cooler than the temperature. Once it's detached from the vine, that cucumber will heat up to the temperature of the air. And so you notice the connection? If we're connected with the vine, Jesus Christ, we'll be cool as a cucumber. Remember the expression, cool as a cucumber? That's where it came from. So once we learn that, we just say, cucumber.
Yeah, usually she has to use it on me.
I wasn't trying to say.
No, I'm just being real. Because I'm the one that has the tendency to think that if I can increase my volume a little bit, you'll get the point. I'm much better than I used to be.
Definitely.
But it's still, the first time she used this on me, she just said, cucumber. And I'm thinking, well, what are you talking about? It's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, cucumber. Cool as a cucumber. Okay, I get it.
There's also a Bible verse that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, but sometimes, you know, the Lord will help you pick the time to say what's appropriate. And obviously the Word of God comes with great authority. But sometimes the fun little things can kind of break the tension of the situation. So cucumber was a good one for that day anyway. Number four, communication breaker, silence. We call it driving on ice. When we got married, before we were married, my husband-to-be was the most fabulous male communicator I had ever encountered. He could talk. He called me on every break he had at work at the hospital. He could talk. He told me detailed information about anything that he was involved in. I mean, it was incredible. I'd never been with a man who expressed and could communicate the way he did. And after he got married, he just went mute. We would drive to work.
These women always relate to this. In every country, in every culture. It's just involuntary. It escapes out of the mouth of women.
Because it's a gender problem.
Generally speaking, yes.
Generally.
9 out of 10 times.
Maybe 99 out of 100. Right. Anyway. And he would be silent all the way there. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, not a word. Finally, one day I said, honey, how come you don't talk to me anymore? I'm not a morning person. Okay, that's true. He worked 3 to 11 shift. I worked day shift. He got a promotion. He's on days now. And he was used to staying up till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning and not getting up early. Now he's getting up early and earlier to commute. And now he's like, okay, you know, I'm not like quite awake. So then I was waiting. I just figured, okay, then on the way home, obviously he's awake. He's had a whole day of being awake, so he's got lots to say. And on the way home, it was the same way. Silence. It was just like he was fixated on the road, like he was on ice, and every little movement had to be calculated, and he could not be distracted. That's why we call it driving on ice. It is a communication breaker.
So, I don't do that anymore.
Not anymore. It's amazing. Not anymore. He communicates often, and he even looks at me when he talks to me.
Yeah. but I want to just say to the men, if you tend to be one of those men that this happens to, it's very hard on your wife if you don't talk to her on a 2-hour trip or 1-hour trip or 15-minute trip. But if you have a friend, a buddy.
Male.
A male. Yeah, thank you.
What could be female?
In the passenger seat, you talk to them all the time. I mean, we were doing meetings in one location, and the host of the meetings, he would take us back and forth with his wife. He and his wife were in the front seat. Elaine and I were in the back seat. Drive to the meetings, 20 minutes. He wouldn't look at his wife. He wouldn't speak to his wife. Occasionally, he would speak to us through the rearview mirror. Wouldn't talk to his wife. The last day of our meetings, he picked up a friend of his, put his wife in the back with us. I thought we were going to have an accident. He was looking at his friend more than he was looking at the road. No exaggeration. Talked almost nonstop. I didn't even know the guy could talk. You know how his wife felt? Yeah.
Same way I felt.
Same way she felt that first illustration when I came home from work. Men, if this is you, the Holy Spirit will put his finger on you right now. Okay? However he does that. And you'll know, oh, this is me. Don't fight it. Let God change you. God wants to change us. That means that we don't have to be silent. We can choose to communicate. I remember one woman, we were talking to a woman, Elaine and I were talking to a woman, and she said, drives me crazy. I just want to know what's in his head.
And he says nothing. It's not possible, guys.
Yeah. He just says nothing. There's nothing up there. And I know there's something up there. He holds down a good job. He's smart. I just want to know what's in his head. So if you struggle with not being very communicative, talk to the Lord about it. And he will change that if we're willing.
One more example of that, and this is a classic because we spend a lot of times in airports and we have a lot of time waiting on airplanes. And you can tell who are in love and who are, they're usually not the married couples, unfortunately. The ones in love are either dating or they're engaged or they're the newlyweds. And they're in communication. They look at each other. They talk to each other. They hold hands, nonverbal communication. He's got his arm around her. They're happy. And then you see the married couples, and there's usually a chair. If there's enough chairs in the waiting area, there's usually a chair between them. He's either on the computer or on the phone. Occasionally, he might have the newspaper, but it's more an electronic gadget. And she's in the latest Glamour magazine or novel book about love.
She's just wishing for it.
Or sometimes she's on the phone, and they actually almost have their backs against each other. They can be like that for more than an hour, never look at each other, never speak a word to each other. They make the call to board, and then it's like, you know, what are you going to pick? Okay, you take this, you take that. And they're on the plane. And they're just as miserable on the plane as they were in the waiting area. And then those who are in love, I mean, they're just communicating nonverbally, verbally. And it's so funny because people have often said to us, are you guys engaged? Are you married? Are you newlyweds? Or the other day we were going through an airport, just holding hands and talking and smiling, going through the airport, pulling our luggage behind us. And this lady says, happy anniversary. It's like, anniversary, let's see. That was 6 months ago. She just figured we were on a little anniversary outing or something because we actually were connected. So don't be the negative statistic, be the positive statistic.
All right, number five. Communication breaker number five is sleep. Sleep always breaks communication. Always. Yeah. But don't sleep while you're communicating. It breaks communication. It looks like this. So, my wife's gone through a difficult day in the homeschool setting. She's been with children all day. She hasn't had much adult conversation, and so now all the children are in bed. Finally, the lights are out. Oh, I can talk to my husband. She can share what's on her heart. And I'm genuinely interested. What does that say to my wife?
Them not very interesting.
And of course we don't mean it to be that way, do we, husbands? I'm happy to say that it works both ways. My wife has fallen asleep on me too.
<That's> okay. <right.
laughs> But communication is always broken by sleep. And so now, and for many years, we will say something like this. Honey, I'm losing it, starting to fade. If we're going to keep talking, we need to sit up and turn the light on. If we can save it till tomorrow, let's go to sleep now. That's a more courteous way to end the conversation than just being gone, okay?
So in other words, when you follow communication point number one, make and take the time, we don't recommend bedtime because inevitably it leads you into the potential disaster of somebody falling asleep. Okay, communication breaker number six, laughter and tears can be a communication breaker. Women are much more emotionally charged or wired than men are. And so sometimes women also use those emotions to control or manipulate the situation, turning on the tears. And the classic example is you're getting pulled over by the highway patrol or the Kona police, or the Hilo police, because you're speeding on the road. And the officer walks up, and the woman says, oh, I am so sorry, you know. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll be much more careful. And, oh, what is my husband going to say if he finds out I got a ticket? Okay, lady, okay, just keep it together. Just be more careful next time. Thank you, officer, thank you. Oh, I just love you, thank you so much. And off we go. You think the officer is going to have the same response if the man says, officer, officer, what's my wife going to say if I get a ticket? Yeah, okay, add 20 more to it. So women tend to use these emotions that can control or manipulate. So these are communication breakers. Lest you think your husband hasn't figured it out yet, he knows. And it really builds resentment. Even if he gives in to you in the moment because he can't stand the emotional breakdown, on the long term, he doesn't respect it. And it will drive a wedge there. So that's a communication breaker.
Now, so no one leaves here with a wrong impression. Tears are appropriate. Emotions are appropriate for men and women. That means it's okay for a man to cry, it's okay for a woman to cry. We're talking about misusing emotions. When we first got married, you know, we had some real difficulties. Mm-hmm. In the first year of our marriage, we had some real difficulties. And if you ever see our series on 3ABN, or if you, you know, get the Marriage Seed series, yes, we had a marriage made in heaven, but we weren't very heavenly the first year, okay? But sometimes, while we were getting to really know each other, because you never really know each other like you think you do until after you get married, and as we were trying to get to know each other, sometimes I would be having what I consider to be a very serious talk with my wife, and she would go... I said, did you just laugh? You're laughing. I'm serious. And you're laughing. And she would start laughing harder until I would get so upset that she would be laughing hysterically, literally.
And it definitely broke communication.
And it took us a while to figure out that for my wife, laughing was a release of tension. Because if she didn't laugh, she would cry. Okay? That's how stressed I could make her feel. And after I figured that out, it made a big difference. She haven't done that for a long time.
Laugh.
You still laugh, but yeah, laughter's great too.
He somehow thought I was laughing at him.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, go ahead.
Number 7, the last communication breaker, jesting, joking, and foolish speaking. This is a communication breaker, and it really happens a lot with men, okay? I'm not saying there aren't some foolish-mouthed women out there, because I've met them, but again, generally speaking, this is a man problem. Men tend to fill blanks with foolishness. Men do not generally like awkward silences in communication and will often fill them with joking, jesting, lying, okay? That's really what it is. I remember one day we had a family come to visit. We have families come to visit us from all over the world, okay? And we do the same kinds of things we're doing here, only we do it one-on-one and just it's really an opportunity to go really deep. And remember this one family, they drove in, and it was so, I felt so embarrassed for the dad, because the little girl pops out of the car, and before her dad or mom can get out, she pops out of the car, and she says to her dad, real loud voice, Daddy, were you telling the truth? Now, you really don't want your children to have to ask you if you're telling the truth, okay? No, I was only joking. Well, as we went through time together, we were sitting down by our pond, and this person was quite a jokester. And we're sitting down there by we have a little pond in our backyard, and this guy's sitting there, and all of a sudden he jumps up and says to our daughter Emily, our middle daughter, she was about, I don't know, 10. Look out for that alligator in the pond. Okay, he's trying to be funny. And I'll tell you what was really funny. We didn't laugh, but what was really funny is the response that our daughter Emily, 10 years old, gives to this grown man. She is very calmly, very quietly said, "We don't have alligators in our pond." No sarcasm, total innocence of a child. And I mean to tell you, if you could have been there, it was a precious moment for that man. It was a turning point. He started to ask some questions because his little girl was to the point where she didn't know if daddy was telling the truth or just lying. Now, we never like to call it lying, right? Okay? What is it? Well, joking sounds better. But in God's eyes...
Kidding.
Yeah, or kidding, okay? Can you ever imagine... Can you ever imagine Jesus joking with his disciples, okay? I'm just kidding, guys. That stuff I said about the king... No, I was just kidding. I just made that up. No, we're not going to see that. And those who follow the Lamb of God, whithersoever he goeth, will have no guile in their mouths. Okay? Guile, if you look that word up in the Greek, no fish bait. You understand that over here, right? No fish bait. Fish thinks it's getting a worm. It's not what it's getting. It's getting a hook. That's what jesting and joking and lying is all about, no matter what the setting is. And I have to tell you, now that I've shared this, that I used to be one of the most jesting and joking people you would ever meet. I just praise God that he opened my eyes before we had children to the devastating impact of that kind of communication.
Well, it is devastating because it is very human, and it works both ways. For us to say little demeaning statements to our husband or about our husband in front of somebody else, oh, it's just, you know, he's you know, whatever. And everybody in the room can laugh, and he could even laugh, or I could even laugh in the setting. But you don't, when you laugh in the setting, it's a release, but it doesn't make you feel good. And the devil brings those negative thoughts back and those demeaning comments back, and he uses them to work to destroy the marriage. That's why it's so deadly to use those things. So we were both guilty of it, but you were
terrible,
worse than I was. But anyway, we...
there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? Because nobody, my children have never heard me be a jokester, ever. And because it's not a part of me anymore, which means that God can change us.
And it always puts somebody else down. These ethnic jokes, or whatever they are, it puts somebody down. It's usually not the person speaking either. And it's often those who are closest to them in those kind of little demeaning comments. So anyway, that's something we need to leave out
of our communication. Yep. Well, there's natural humor. We're not talking about that. It's great to sit and watch the squirrels try to get on the feeder, and you've put grease on it or oil on it, and they jump on it, and they slide all the way down it. That is hilarious, okay? But we're talking about jesting and joking, making up stories. You know, it takes so many people to get a light bulb, and you have to have seven people to turn the ladder, those kind of things. It's demeaning an ethnic group, or it's demeaning somebody else. And that's what most joking is about. And if it's not demeaning somebody else, it's usually making up something that's not true, okay? Like the guy at the pond, you know, the alligator in the pond. He's just trying to get a joke. He's just trying to get a laugh, just trying to get everybody to we don't need to do that because there are no alligators in the pond, so let's keep it on real life, okay? And that's not where we want to emphasize, but we're looking at seven communication breakers, and this was a big one for me, okay? And it's just so much better having communication that you can trust so that you never have your child say to you, "Daddy, were you telling the truth?" If you ever hear your child ask you that and you have to try to convince them that you really were this time, it means you really weren't too many other times, okay? And we want that to be out of our relationships. In closing, we're going to sing a little song that's very special to us. It's called Forever Friends. And I believe that's number two on the soundtrack back there. All around us things are changing, seasons come and seasons go. Very few things last forever, but deep within our hearts we know we're forever friends, bound by love that time can't take away. Forever friends, caring in a special kind of way, heart to heart and hand in hand, we'll stand until the end. Love's forever when we're forever. Children of the Father in His keeping and His care, and the Spirit that He gives us, it's a love we're meant to share. We're forever friends, bound by love that time can't take away. Forever friends, caring in a special kind of way, heart to heart and hand in hand, we'll stand until the end. Love's forever when we're forever. Love's forever when we're forever friends. I love you.
So we'll take about a 10-minute break, stretch, use the bathroom, get some water, whatever needs to happen, and